Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John, how are you?
I'm great, guys. Would your jerk of the week, is that supposed to be a surprise?
It is. We unveil it at 1:45.
Can I nominate someone?
Oh, go ahead.
Brett McHenry, who was fired by ESPN, now has made her name for herself in conservative TV and on Twitter for being ultra-conservative, blast everybody. Rep defensive end Chris Long for donating his salary last season to charity. He claimed he did it for the tax deduction, and then ripped him and his family.
Wow.
He does all kinds of things, and now I refuse to tweet things like that, but she's getting obliterated on me.
She had a problem with him donating his salary to charity? I mean,
yep.
I know the Water Boys initiative that he's done has been great to bring water to areas that don't have it.
She didn't like some tweet he had about the new rule about protesting, so she took off on him. I think people do that just to get attention, and she's getting it. Gets her more followers. It's gotten her TV job on conservative television somewhere. It's actually, she was out of work. It's probably pretty smart what she's doing.
John McClain chiming in for Jerk of the Week, presented by Southern Jerky Company. We'll have that coming up a little bit later.
You got a better one than that. I can't wait to hear who it is.
We're going to have a 3-for-1 Jerk of the Week this week. We usually just have Paul's. Now we have 3 different jerks coming at you.
John, we cannot complain about your piece at PaulKuharsky.com. It was excellent. I read it yesterday.
Thank you.
And what caught me was what Ted Johnson once told you about how he knew that Vrabel was going to be a head coach. And that kind of caught you, maybe not off guard, but by surprise, because you had not thought of Vrabel in that way this quickly in his career.
I didn't even know Vrabel in 2001. I was covering the NFL then. I spent a lot of time in Nashville when I was covering the NFL for 8 years, as much as I could. And then, I love going up to Boston area, so they were good then, and I got to go up there, and Ted, who had lived here when he was young and was an Oilers fan, we hit it off immediately, and we would just talk in the dressing room. I had him on some of the shows with me in Nashville because he's a great talker. Now he does the afternoon show here, and I'll be on with him today at 4:30. And he just was talking about the different linebackers and why they were so good in the system, coached by defense coordinator Romeo Crennel. And he's like, oh, and Vrabel is going to be head coach in the NFL. And I'm like, well, how in the world would you know that? Guy's only been in the league 5 years. And he went on to tell me why. And then so I thought about that, not a lot through the years, but a couple times I've talked to him, and we talk about Willie McGinnis. It's so funny. Of those 4 linebackers, 3 are in the media,
yeah.
And there's Mike. So that means 3 of them have been successful. And the other one, of course, Teddy Bruschi of ESPN, and McGinnis is on the NFL Network. When Mike retired and from Kansas City, and he went to Ohio State where he went to school and was head of recruiting, and I remember I think Mike was recruiting coordinator of the year, and he was position coach for Urban Meyer. And then I started to think about it and asked Ted again. He said the same thing. When Vrabel came here in 2014, they started to talk a lot. Ted said, I'm sure now. And I just, that goes all the way back to 2001.
I won't give away the whole piece, but you've told us this prior to writing it for PaulKuharsky.com. The Vrabels liked Tennessee. They loved Tennessee before the Titans were even an option for him to come and coach, right?
They did. Him and his wife, Jen, who's a wonderful woman, big sports fan, volleyball player. Her mother, and she and her mom are diehard sports fans. And Jen is the one that, tells Mike when he's full of it. And he values her opinion, and they've raised 2 boys. And they came up there and brought their kids up there on a vacation. I think it was a concert they wanted to see. Spent a long weekend up there, and they, who doesn't love Nashville? And it was just kind of ironic at the time. They had no idea they were going to eventually be there.
You have been able to observe him over the last 4 seasons. You've talked with Texans players about their coach. Give me some of his strengths. What do people within the Texans organization say about him?
Well, Mike is very demanding. He's very loud. He's animated. If you don't like four-letter words, you can't be around him. And he likes to participate in things. Here, I didn't mention this in the column I wrote because I didn't know the name of it. There was a game that the defensive linemen would play on the field before warm-ups, and you would get in the middle, and you would do something. You'd have to get out of the center, and Vrabel would get in there and do it with them, and you could see all the bonding that they would do. And the players really respected him. Mike works hard. He works out. He runs on the field. You know, he's running before games. I don't know if he'll be able to do that now, but he looks like one of them. You know, he's 6'4", 260. And he's still 6'4", 260, a commanding presence. And he wouldn't ask them to do something he wouldn't do. So if he was demanding of them, he was demanding of himself. And the whole organization's going to see that, especially the offense and the special teams. And he is not one of these coaches that's just going to stay on the defensive side of the ball. He's not going to try to run the offense over Matt LaFleur, but he wants LaFleur to tell him what's going on, just like on special teams. And so he wants to be well-rounded. And one of the things that I like about Mike is he knows he's going to make mistakes. And the key is you don't make the same mistake twice. And so people here respect him. When he was – this was what was weird. As a linebackers coach, a couple of teams reached out to him to interview him as a head coach. And we're like, what? They talked to Ted Johnson in 2001? And the Rams wanted to talk to him, and we're like, geez, he's a linebacker's coach. He's been a coach for 3 years in the NFL. And then before he could go out there and interview, they interviewed Sean McVay and said, we don't want this guy to get away. So they hired him immediately. And then, of course, three teams interviewed him this year.
You give something that you say Vrabel will have to learn to be a successful head coach. I'll save that for the column. But one thing you know that players will respect, media will respect, fans should respect, is that he doesn't believe in a lot of BS. He's very direct, and everyone will know where they stand with him.
I believe, you know, he's Mike's not going to sugarfoot around, let me put it like
yes,
that.
Yes.
And everybody will know where they stand. They may not like it, and he'll tell them why. You know, you have to remember, he comes from the Bill Belichick school. And then Bill O'Brien, like some of the rules he's incorporated up there for the media that the media doesn't like, same rules that we had put in here by Bill O'Brien, we don't like. The Gary Kubiak, to let everybody watch practice, talk to coaches whenever you want. But more and more teams are following the other lead. And so Mike has his reasons for things. And I think the fact that he and John Robinson – they respect each other as it is, but over time they will grow their relationship even more. And the fact that Robinson and Bob Quinn, both of whom who worked with Vrabel New England, interviewed him as a head coach tells you what kind of impression he made on them a long time ago.
John, the tweets from Britt McHenry that you mentioned about Chris Long, she says, someone 10 years into their career has already made millions. You know what gets them publicity, in all caps? Giving up one season of, quote, salary. Quickest way to a TV spot when you retire. Sorry, but not sorry. Then she goes on to say, if I made $39 million on one contract with an NFL deal and also came from a rich family, please, please think critically about why I donate a season of salary. Hello, tax write-off. All this publicity for $1 million versus $39 million guaranteed. Libs and Long Brothers will play you. That is from Britt McHenry. Not exactly the hill that I would die on if I were Britt McHenry, no, for someone giving that much money to charity.
Isn't that amazing? And she has no idea. I wouldn't say Howie Long's rich. And
I'd say he's rich. I mean, that part she got right, but still.
And
who cares where the money's coming from or how much money they had before if they're donating that much money?
And he does so much more than donate the salary, as you pointed out. Digging those wells for water. Where were they? In Africa?
Yep.
That is amazing. He would spend all that time and get other people to help him do that and put a lot of work. I just thought that was such a cheap shot. But as I've said, guys, so much on the internet, social media said, not because you believe it, but because you want to get attention to try to help you make money. But anybody possibly believes something, that's got a screw loose.
Yeah, she's. I'm sure she's got a lot of people telling her she's a genius right now for writing.
Well, even if
also.
He's doing it, let's just say hypothetically, that's the reason. He's still donating his
money.
Who
cares? I mean, he's bringing water to an area in Africa that doesn't have water. So even if the motivation was good publicity or a TV job, who cares if that's the outcome?
Exactly.
John, quickly, though, I wanted to ask you about that scene last night in Houston and the support of that city. Pretty cool seeing J.J. Watt and Justin Timberlake sitting courtside next to each other at that game last night.
Yeah, I like seeing Watt's girlfriend, Kelly Ojai, better. She's a soccer player for the Dash here.
That too was okay. That was
fine.
They've
been together a long time. There were a lot of celebrities there, a lot of great former athletes. I never get tired of seeing Hakeem Olajuwon, the Big E, Elvin Hayes, they're courtside as well. Chris Paul, if you guys watch that game, in the last seconds, while the bench was going crazy and they were trying to pull out the victory, he just sat there staring into space, and he is a team guy. And as we've talked about here, he knew that was bad. Now, I saw a video of him a while ago walking somewhere with his teammates, and he was walking carefully, but he was not limping at all. But as you guys know, hamstrings, you can't come back from them until it's 100%. And a guy has to run up and down the court. I'd be shocked if we see him in the seventh game. They'll probably lose to Golden State. Eric Gordon will step up. They've been going seven deep, and that means they'd be six deep. So I don't know how they're going to win in Golden State, but I just hope he's not out for the championship series if they get that far.
615-737-1045, our number. Dennis will lead us off for John McClain. Hey, Dennis.
Hi, John. This is Packer Dennis. I have a question about the owners' meeting. Does Mark Murphy have complete rights and privileges
yes.
to vote as an owner?
Yeah.
And then my second question is about that is, what are the dynamics in that room like? Because you have 31 billionaires, which is a pretty elite, you know, exclusive club, and then you have a president. I was just wondering if, you know, if there's any kind of weird dynamics with that.
No, Murphy's considered an owner just like they are. I mean, they understand the Packers setup. It's been that way for decades. You know, Bob Harlan was one of the most respected and influential people in the NFL, even though technically, you know, he wasn't the owner. He was appointed to run the board. And so, no, the Packers get due respect when they're with the other owners.
John, how can you have something that was as divisive and as big of a story as the anthem policy and have the NFL take the vote in an informal fashion with the ayes have it and not a formal voting process with that? I thought that was an odd decision and one that I know now is being sort of deconstructed as an effort of the NFL just to pass through what they thought was best.
Well,
the national
anthem. If the owners had wanted to be a formal vote, it would have been. They had a show of hands. And I've talked to two of them that said they do that quite a bit. Now, why they announced it as unanimous, it was not unanimous. It wasn't a vote. And according to media reports, Mark Davis also abstained. You had Oakland and San Francisco owners abstaining. It doesn't matter because it passed. Almost all of them voted for it. So, I didn't think anything about that because it's the rule. If there was going to be... If the owners had said, no, we're going to take a vote, they would have taken a vote. They run the show, not Roger Goodell and not anybody else. What I'm amazed of is you can have guys that have made billions of dollars in business and obviously are very smart in business come up with a decision that is so stupid that it's created controversy. They had to know it was going to create controversy. They just wanted to have a resolution. And thank God they didn't put a 15-yard penalty for kneeling because then the national anthem ends and the penalty flag goes up. How bad would that have been? As it is now, you know, hopefully it'll come off like Rashad Matthews did. But the way it is now, it's every camera is going to be aimed at the tunnel coming out to see who was not on the sideline for the national anthem. And then if a player kneels or puts up his fist, the team gets fined, and the team has a right to fine him as well. I don't think there will be suspensions because then you'd have to go to an arbitrator and appeal, and it just gets ugly. Say Amy Adams Strunk said, like Christopher Johnson, we hope our players stand at attention for the national anthem, but if we don't, we're not fining them. The league can fine us, which they will. Now, it comes free agents, say Jerry Jones had a rule, find his players, and that free agent's trying to decide between the Titans and the Cowboys, and his agent says, hey, you know, she didn't find players for that, and he did. I think it'll hurt teams in free agency if indeed they do it. It won't surprise me if they don't.
Well, and it, to me, it kind of further separates the owners from the players this distrust that's out there. You know, people are talking about the NBA rule that's been around for years where every NBA player has to stand because that's an NBA rule. For the national anthem, and you have to acknowledge it, and this started with Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf in the 90s with the Nuggets because he said he wasn't doing it for religious reasons, and he's Muslim. I'm interested, though, what this says about the divide between the players and the owners, and also, John, sort of what you were talking about. I don't know that this solves the business problem the NBA or the NFL was encountering with suite holders and season ticket holders and football fans saying, I have such a problem with this, I'm not going to renew my season tickets, I'm not going to watch the game, because now they're just going to move on to, okay, if half of my favorite team is in the locker room, then I'm not going to like that either. So I don't know that this really solves anything with all the back and forth.
It was ridiculous. The owners on the social justice committee said, we're glad we got this rule, now we can get back to football. And I'm thinking, how dumb can you be? Not going to get back to football. Remember, players protested because they wanted to bring attention to social injustice like racial inequality and white cops killing black teenagers all over the country. Now, it's only a small portion. Most of the police do great things, but they know that kneeling is not going to keep that from happening, but it brings attention to it. It got the NFL to kick in $90 million to the Players Coalition to be used for causes that they deem worthy. Not all players are in that coalition. Some pulled out, said the coalition sold out. So what if they sold out? Fact is, they got $90 million to put where they believe it needs to be put. And so the distrust is still unbelievable. The reason the NBA has that rule is the players believe in the owners. The owners' coaches blast Donald Trump. There's no repercussions. The players can blast him. There's no repercussions. So they built up trust over time. The NFL, it's worse than ever.
615-737-1045, our number. Next up is Paxton for John McClain this afternoon. Hey, Paxton.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. McClain. I had a couple questions for you, if you just had just a second. The first one is with Mike Vrabel and Malarkey both having respect, you know, the respect of the players, yet they're two different types of coaches, obviously, Vrabel being more vocal while Malarkey wasn't. Do you see a difference in the way the players are responding to the two respected coaches? The second question is, Amy Adams Strunk has proven that what she does always has multiple reasons. An example, obviously, is the Titans reveal party. It was great for the fans. Yeah, I think that was her way of saying, give us the draft. We can, you know, we can do this. Do you believe that the success of the draft will show the NFL that maybe Nashville is ready for a Super Bowl with construction done, obviously, at Nissan Stadium? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
No, there's not. Bring in ships on the river, Cumberland River, to put people. You've got to have X number of hotel rooms in the area. So I don't think that'll happen. I think they're going to have draft. They'll do a great job. Let me ask you guys something. That could be in during the Stanley Cup playoffs. What is a contingency plan?
Well, here's the other problem, John. It's going to happen during the Music City Marathon.
Yep.
That's going to have 27,000 people running through Nashville on that Saturday morning. And the marathon's not budging. They're not moving the event. So you have the chance of having the NFL draft right downtown, maybe on Broadway, the Country Music Marathon or the Rock and Roll Marathon, whatever it's called now. Plus, you could have possibly two Stanley Cup playoff games at home over the course of that weekend. Maybe it's a Thursday-Saturday. Maybe it's a Friday-Sunday scenario. The Friday-Sunday better for Nashville. But that's too much to me. I love that the draft is here. I'd also love it if a couple more of those events were happening in different weekends to sort of spread it out a bit.
Wow.
Spread the wealth, so to speak. Spread the wealth for everyone.
That is unbelievable. I think I'd be renting out my home during that period. But you know what? Somehow they'll be able to pull it off, and that'll be even better. If they have, would they move the draft to the stadium to get away from downtown if they're having party for the Predators and the Marathon?
I don't know about the stadium. One of the plans, though, is Ascend Amphitheater, which is sort of behind Broadway. It's very close. It's walking distance, but it would put it in an outdoor amphitheater that's downtown, but not right in the middle of the street. If you were facing out that way, that's one possibility. It's going to be a mess, but with Nashville, if we've seen anything, it's going to be a beautiful mess.
What a party.
Yep.
It's going to be people everywhere, and there's going to be people spending a lot of money, and it's going to be a great time. But question for you, John, he asked about stadium construction and luring a Super Bowl here, and is that the next thing? I'm going to ask you, as someone that's lived in a city that's hosted Super Bowls, is it worth it to build an indoor stadium just to lure the Super Bowl for 1 week?
Well, if you got into rotation, maybe, but just one. It's not like Nashville needs any attention. It's not like it's Jacksonville or even Minneapolis. People come there like crazy. Everybody knows Music City. Sometimes the economic impact is not as important as, say, the reputation for hosting a major event, attention it calls to your city. And I'm sure everybody would love to have one, but I don't think Nashville needs it. I know Nashville doesn't need it. You know, it's a great city anyway. It doesn't matter what's going to happen if you got a Super Bowl or not. And I'd be stunned if I think the draft will go over great no matter what the setup is. I hope they do so well they get it a second time. But I just don't think it's one game, one time is worth it.
What do you think of the kickoff changes? Where eventually are we going to see them just eliminate the kickoff altogether?
I believe they will. I saw an amazing stat over the last 3 years, something like, 271 kickoffs. They had concussions, and 11 were on touchbacks. They're trying to cut down on the collisions. The kickoff team, they can't take off till the ball's kicked. The returning team can't move out of an area till the ball hits the ground or is touched. I guess it'll be more like punt returns, but I think it's inevitable they're going to get rid of it because they have the statistics to show that they're more head trauma. You know, they're not so much concerned with other areas, that there's more head trauma from the collisions on kickoffs than any other thing they do. So it's enjoy it while you can.
Well, and John, this is the cynic in me, and I know a lot of this is because of the head trauma, but it's also going to save the owners on some payroll. I think rosters will get smaller when you don't have to fill as many special team spots at the end of the roster for guys that would be playing only on kickoff at times or kick return.
Well, I've not heard that used, but money usually factors into every decision in the concussion problem. It's a money decision because they don't want to lose more money in settlements and being sued.
And for those that don't know, for instance, the kickoff team this past season had to have at least 4 players on each side of the football. This year, you have to have 5 players on each side of the ball, and the rule will likely have its biggest impact on onside kicks on that rule. Also last year, the kickoff team could line up 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage and get a running start. This year, that's been eliminated. The kickoff team cannot line up for more than 1 yard from the line of scrimmage, so no more running starts, where you would have to line up at the 34-yard line now and kick off from the 35.
Could be that you're going to have smaller, quicker guys, no linemen anymore.
Yeah.
Because when you got to start and take off, you need people to get off the mark quick. So you might see more defensive backs, running backs, receivers, and of course, linebackers doing all the coverage and the blocking.
And also, the other rule is the helmet rule. And they confirmed that the rule penalizes any player who lowers his head to initiate contact, including offensive linemen. And forever, John, we've seen offensive linemen in the 3-point stance drive off the line and use the head as first contact. That will now be a penalty.
You'll see 2-point stances like in college. Everybody will be in a 2-point stance with their head up.
But what about goal line situations?
It's a good point. I guess they just have to learn to do it. NFL players always adjust, but usually there's an adjustment period, so I'm sure early on we're going to see a lot of penalties.
Yeah, and coaches need to know the exact rule and how it's going to be enforced because they have to coach it. They have to get these players prepared for the regular season.
I feel bad for the officials because they just keep putting more on their plate as it is. At least they do is give them a raise.
Let's go to Jordan next up for John. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, guys. Mr. McClain, I had two questions to ask you. The first one, just wanted to know what your take was going to be on how you think J.J. Watts will respond this year coming back from injury. And my second one was, what is your take on the AFC standings? You think we're good for the South this year? What do you think the final standings will be? Y'all have a good weekend.
You too, Jordan.
Final standings will be like last year. The team that keeps its quarterback healthy will be the one that wins the division. That's if Andrew Luck plays and he's the only quarterback stays healthy. They got a chance to win the division. Bortles is probably. He's number four among the starting quarterbacks when they're healthy, but he played every game, and they won. And I know you guys would love to see Marcus Mariota play a full season for the first time, just like they want to see Deshaun Watson bounce back. If all the quarterbacks are healthy, this division could be, let's see, I stopped short of saying great. I say really, really good.
It could be great.
And we all know it's going to be competitive. But,
yeah,
man, oh, man, if you think you got four quarterbacks drafted high, Watson being the lowest pick, the others among the top three, you just want them to be able to stay on the field.
Jay is next up for John McClain.
Oh, by J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt.
Yes, go ahead.
Great. I saw a video. I've only been able to see him on the field once, and he was working on the side where the injured players are. But I've talked to him, and I saw a video of him doing drills like in the combine. And the guy that showed it to me on the staff said, can you tell this guy's been hurt? And you couldn't. Now, he's not out on the field hitting people, but he's got a long way before he has to do that. So he hasn't been beaten up the last 2 years while he's rehabbed. So they expect him to come back big time.
Hanging with Timberlake last night, courtside.
Hey, you know, one, there was a great line in the movie, first Captain America movie with Chris Evans. He was a little scrawny guy with, you know, they did some CGI in which he had normal head and a little bitty body. And then, of course, he muscled up. Somebody said, that's what he looked like last night. Timberlake was the first Captain America, and then there was Captain America muscled up.
Jay dropped off. 615-737-1045, our number. Hunter Henry lost for the season with a torn ACL this week. Running a drill, running downfield, untouched. He's getting a second opinion, but that's not going to affect this report that he's out for the year. So the ACL count so far, four players. Running back Fozzie Whitaker with Carolina. Linebacker Paul Warlow with Philadelphia. Hunter Henry, and then yesterday there was news that Rams defensive end Morgan Fox is also lost for the season. We're just in May, John.
The only good thing about getting hurt in May, you'll be ready before the following season. And there's going to be more, as there is every year. The two most prominent being Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson, two great young quarterbacks, and how they come back. But they're inevitable. They happen all the time. If anybody ever invents something they can wear on their knees to prevent them or limit them, they're going to be billionaires.
Let's go to Jay. Hey, Jay, what's up?
Hey, sorry, man.
That's all right.
Yeah, hold on. Well, I want to make a comment, and then I'd like to ask a question to John.
Sure.
First comment is, man, how exciting is it that Nashville is getting the NFL draft and the music scene? And all of the facilities and all the things that we have here in Nashville that are going to add to the draft as opposed to Dallas. I hope it's different. And I'm looking forward to Hank Williams Jr. coming back and saying, are we ready for some football when it opens up? That's my comment.
Got to get him sober first.
Well, first of all, I think it's important. And then, number one, Nashville's got a lot of celebrities who can participate that cities don't. And the way they love football and they love the Titans in the NFL is all sports. I think they will be incorporated at every level. And I think it's going to be great. And if you got the marathon and you got the Stanley Cup playoffs, that just adds to the party.
Go ahead with your question.
It does. And my question was, to hype it up a little bit, who do you think maybe the first, I'll say three, who do you think maybe three of the top picks coming out of college will be featured in the Nashville NFL draft, just roughly? Who do you think three of them might be?
Well, the top quarterback depends on it. Now, Athlon, which is based right there, has Will Grier, the quarterback from West Virginia, I believe is the best. A lot of people like Drew Locke at Missouri. And people right now go, oh, this draft's not going to be as good for quarterbacks. That's what they were said before 2017. But with Watson, Mahomes, and Trubisky, that draft's looking pretty good.
Nick Bosa is the big talk, too, at the top of the draft.
Also, Shea Patterson.
Shea Patterson. I'd be stunned if Shea Patterson transfers to Michigan and is then one of the top quarterbacks.
And John, let's go. Let's stay right there in Houston with you. Ed Oliver.
Ed Oliver, top defensive lineman, be a top five pick. He's another one. Clemson always has linemen that come out that are great. I can't even remember.
Christian Wilkins, defensive tackle. Farrell, the defensive end at Clemson.
Yeah.
Just to name a few of the guys at Clemson who could go first round.
I've read some of these mock drafts for 2019. I'm just eager to see who the top players are that I need to watch. And usually Bosa is the best defensive player, and then there's debate about the best offensive.
Give you another quarterback to watch, Drew Locke at Missouri.
Yep.
John, thank you so much. And by the way, let's remind the listeners, if you haven't done it yet, go check out the column at paulkuharski.com. John McClain on why he believes Vrabel will be a successful NFL head coach. John, thanks so much, and we'll catch up with you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend.
Jonathan and Chad, you too. Thank you very much.
Follow John on Twitter, @McClain_on_NFL.